for some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, I just saw this study that I want to throw back at you guys. The question is, at what age would you freeze your aging? If you could stop aging at some point and just be stuck at that age, what would it be? And there was a surprising answer from a survey of many, many Americans. What's your number, Ron?
I want to hear Ron's number.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Because we all know Carla's already frozen at 32. Yeah,
she's ageless.
Yeah, she's ageless. She just stayed right there all along.
Keep it coming.
I mean, on the one hand, I would like to say, you know, late 20s, because I feel like I had a grasp of things.
Yes.
And I was married and having a good time. But I love my life right now with my kids.
Oh,
that's a sweet statement.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
And you do have some rocking
and
kids. Not
and I'm
lie.
Saying that knowing they're not listening.
All right. Carly, you have a number?
I like Ron's answer a lot. I think that was really great. I would agree. I thought, well, I got married in my 20s. That was sure a great time. But then I think of, oh, yeah, look what we had to do after we got married, where we lived and making it. I would say my mid-30s.
Mid-30s.
With all my kids on the ground. You know, just where I am now.
Still in the house.
My mid-30s. Still in the house.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well done. You know, the interesting thing is that...
You?
Yeah, I'm going to go mid-30s as well. And 4 in 10 Americans said they would not go back to their 20s. And there's something idyllic about the 20s. Obviously, you are still very, very youthful. But most people would rather be frozen in time at 36 years old.
36?
That's okay. The number.
Okay.
See, I would want a little bit later because my last child wasn't born until I was 40, so.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I didn't even know you were 40.
Oh, yeah.
It's you, hotshot.
I know. Look at me.
Well,
I wish y'all could see him. He looks like he's 28.
Yeah, right.
I'm giving it to you.
All right.
I don't lie.
This conversation took place down the hall, and unfortunately, some of the sports radio hosts down there, their answer was, I want to be 20 because I want to be in college. Because now, college is a much racier environment.
Just ask Les Miles.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to go hang out with Les Miles and learn some lessons, right?
Oh, boy, putting on the miles.
All right, we will be right back. When we return, we're going to unpack the Dak Prescott situation with the Cowboys. We're also going to look at other quarterback positions like the Patriots.
How about Big Ben?
And the Saints. There are so many questions out there. Big Ben and the Steelers. We're going to figure it all out when we return.
It's a Football Friday with the boss.
And the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers have found their quarterback for next year.
Yippee!
Big Ben re-signing with the team at a much reduced salary. Yet you're not optimistic about Big Ben and the Steelers.
I haven't been optimistic about Big Ben for several years. I mean, he's 39 years old. And I appreciate that he allowed the Steelers to restructure his contract.
Yep.
You know, he was going to set to make $19 million. Now he's going to make $14 million. It would have been a massive cap hit, you know, without restructuring, $42 million.
Yeah, $42 million, untenable.
It's still 20-something. I mean,
for any quarterback, but certainly for a quarterback at his stage of his career. Yeah, so he has, with humility, said, no, I'm not that guy, but I'm going to take a lower number because I do want a chance to play again. We were 11-0 last year, 11-0. We were the favorites. Everybody thought we were the darlings, and then everything collapsed. Can they get back to that 11-0 type status?
Not with Big Ben and not with in his contract. Even with the restructuring, this still really makes it difficult for Pittsburgh to re-sign any of their – they have 19 unrestricted free agents, including – Juju Smith-Schuster, linebacker Bud Dupree, running back James Conner. I mean, they've got big names that need to be paid. So even with this restructuring, their hands are going to be tied. It's going to be really difficult to bring these guys back. And if you look at that 11-0 run this past season with the Steelers was amazing. And Ben, during that time, his stats, he had 25 touchdowns to 6 interceptions and a 68 QBR. Not great, but okay. The last 5 games... He was 1-4, 12 TDs to 8 interceptions, and a 49 QBR.
So what happened? I mean, they were going so well, and then the wheels came off.
Ben happened.
You just think he went, he's been streaky. He was good Ben in the first 11 games, and then we saw bad Ben.
I think his inconsistency is not going to get better at 39 years old. And, you know, he was not injured this year. You know, he was coming off a wrist injury from the previous season, yes. But, I mean, that would have shown up early in the season. So yeah. It's just him. This is him. He's not enough. I hate to be that way. And I know the Pittsburgh Steelers were kind of forced because they don't have a succession plan, you know, in place for them. And you look at the AFC North, you look at the other quarterbacks he's going to be facing. Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and Joe Burrow. You may mean Joe not this next year because of the injury. But, I mean, Ben may rank as the fourth quarterback in that division.
Hard to believe because he's been at the elite level in that division for so long. A great, great run with the Steelers. But, yes, there are three up-and-coming quarterbacks in Mayfield, Jackson, and Joe Burrow. So that's where, you're right. So, you know, what's interesting is to compare the way that the Packers have handled their quarterback situation and the Steelers have handled theirs. I mean, we can look at the Steelers now and say they really had no choice. They have to re-sign Ben because they didn't have a quarterback in waiting. And even after his really severe injury to the arm, and there were questions about whether he could return.
And he was 38 when the injury happened. It wasn't like this is a young guy.
They really didn't go and jump to find an alternative. They didn't draft early a quarterback. And so you can look now and critique their lack of action on the quarterback. The other side of the coin is the Packers, who were trying to be very proactive, and they drafted Jordan Love when they had Aaron Rodgers still playing at an elite level. And they got critiqued for drafting the replacement too early. And so it's a very, very tough thing to balance. You want to draft that guy, your replacement, at just the right moment, not too early, not too late. It looks like the Steelers are too late. Maybe the Packers were too early.
I mean, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I mean, it's last man up in this league for sure. I think with Ben, the thing that I don't see getting better is decision making. At this point in your career, when you're 39 years old, you've been with the Steelers for your entire career, and you're still throwing picks in the red zone, which is what happened in that last 5-game stretch.
Yep.
I mean, just awful with the interceptions, and that's decision making. And I don't care what your age is. That's something that should improve with veteran, you know, years in the league and all. And I don't see that changing. So.
Well, what I really like to see for the Steelers is an improved running game because they did ask Ben to throw the ball too much down the stretch.
Right.
He's not a guy who should be throwing the ball 40 times a game. They ought to be running James Conner, running somebody, and get some rhythm to that offense so it's not Big Ben heaving it around and making mistakes.
Well, 19 unrestricted free agents. You're going to have to find something in the bank.
Well, the amazing thing about the NFL this year is with the lower salary cap, there are going to be loads of people cut because of salary cap. Not because a team doesn't want them. A team just can't fit them
anymore. And I think that's what's going to happen in
Pittsburgh. Talent's going to spill out. And those teams with lots of cap room, like the Patriots, like the Jaguars, are going to have a really great opportunity to sign some really quality players. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster, he ought to turn the head of Bill Belichick, who is bereft of wide receivers. But there are many others out there. I mean, Golden Tate was just cut by the Giants. He's not at that level. But they're going to be really talented players on this free agent market, and those who have the money are going to get them at a bargain.
Yes, because last year the salary cap was $198 million, and it's projected to be right around $180 million. I mean, that's a $20 million hit.
Yeah, it comes down because of the league's revenues down due to COVID.
Lack of gate revenue and things.
And, of course, what typically happens in these contracts is teams will push obligations out into the future with the assumption that the salary cap will rise every year. And so lots of stuff's been pushed out into the future, and now the salary cap has actually come down. So cap room, dollars, budget, spending this year is at a premium. A dollar today is worth more than it was a year ago. You can get something really precious. You can get great talent, and it's a real opportunity, and it will probably lead to, and we're just on the cusp of all this, but it will probably lead to a big transition of talent that we almost can't anticipate now. Guys getting cut and guys getting signed, those over the cap, like the Saints are going to have to cut some guys. The Rams are probably going to have to cut some guys that they would not want to part with. And people like the Jaguars and the Patriots are going to be sitting there licking their chops ready to pick up these guys.
So it might help with parity, you're saying?
I really do. Yeah, because it's typically the good teams that are struggling with the cap. They've got the talent. And sure, yeah, they're going to end up having to cut some of those guys. There will be a chance at parity. There'll be a chance. I mean, you look at the Patriots. That's a team that will get back a bunch of good defensive starters, guys who had opted out. They have a lot of money to spend. There will be receivers available. I mean, Godwin of the Buccaneers might become a free agent if they don't tag him. Juju Smith-Schuster, Golden Tate. There are a lot of receivers who will hit the market.
And I think that's where they need to pick it up. They have not done well drafting receivers.
So they really do. I mean, N'Keal Harry was a bust. He was a first round. He's entering his third year next year. He may pick it up. But they don't have a tight end either. Their offensive firepower is very, very poor. But they have a chance to fix that in free agency, bring back the defensive stalwarts, and then they've got to find the quarterback. And if they can put those pieces together, Bill Belichick is not going to have just 7 wins next year. He got 7 wins out of that team, and they're going to be a better team next year. So we'll have to see how he puts it together. But his salary cap room, I think he's got about $60 million to spend. That's going to go a long way this offseason.
No, it will. And then you look at Houston Texans, 4-12 team with no salary cap move. Wow. You just go, how to do everything wrong.
Yeah.
Look over Kirby Drive here in Houston.
So,
oh boy.
When we come back, what I want to do is Pro Football Focus has, since 2015, they have been grading college players in anticipation of the draft. They put a draft grade on every college player, and what they did, they just published their top 50 players
of the past 5 years.
Of the past 5 years since 2015. And the top 50 players, it's a really fascinating list. When we come back, we'll tee it up this way. We'll tell you who has received the highest grade from anybody since 2015, and we'll tell you, you'll have to come up with it, the first duo of brothers. There's one duo of brothers on that list, and the top 50 players who have received the highest grades for the draft from Pro Football Focus. That when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we are just seeing the news that it is official. Alex Smith will be leaving the Washington football team, and he's a big cap casualty, right? There was a $25 million. Redskins, or the WFT we're not going to carry that contract on their books this year, particularly in a tight salary cap
world. It ends up saving him $15 million on the cap.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man, $25 million cap hit. Too bad for Alex Smith, 37 years old.
Do you see fitting on with another team?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
By all accounts, he's always been a smart, savvy guy to have in the room. I don't think anybody looks at him as a starting elite quarterback, but as a backup and a good guy to have on the team who can fill in for 3 to 4
veteran
games.
Veteran leadership, and that's important.
I have the perfect team for him.
Oh, tell.
Talks.
Do tell.
Your Chargers?
Nope. Nah, we don't need him. Although I do love the story, but I would say the perfect team for him, Jacksonville. Have him come in.
Do what he did with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
Right. Have him mentor Trevor Lawrence. But also, Urban Meyer was his head coach in college.
Exactly.
Of course. Yes.
So it makes all the sense in the world for him to go there, be the mentor. Maybe he plays a game or two. Who knows?
Yeah.
But really, you know, Alex Smith himself is a former number one all pick, so he knows the pressure of what Trevor Lawrence is going to go through.
Yep.
Ron, that's brilliant.
I think it's an obvious choice.
And Jacksonville has cap room.
Yeah, well, they got tons of cap
room. They could restructure his deal, too.
Well, he'll have a different deal. They'll come in at a new deal. And he won't cost that much. I bet it'll be a great opportunity for them.
Oh, Ron, you are on this morning.
See, he needs to go there.
Ron's on.
All right.
There's no other place for him to go.
No, I love that. I love that. And I don't think he would mind that. I mean, he handled the Patrick Mahomes situation beautifully in Kansas City.
And he was a mentor of Mahomes. So there's really, I mean, I don't see him.
He's class act.
I don't see him going 16-game season anymore. He's not that guy. But he can fulfill that mentorship role that is desperately needed with a lot of these young quarterbacks.
And the competitive drive and being able to go out on his terms.
Yes.
Yeah, to be able to come back, not only to do that comeback, but to be part of an organization, whether it is mentoring or on the field. I love that, Ron. Brilliant. Can you be the GM for the Houston Texans? Please. Jeez.
I heard.
They can't afford me.
They can't afford you.
True.
We pay you too well here. I heard a fun rumor that Urban Meyer would bring Tim Tebow back to the Jaguars or to the Jaguars. Not happening. But
well, his baseball career is over now. He's retired.
So somebody pieced together, yeah, baseball's done. Urban and he have a great relationship. It is Jacksonville, the marketing value in Florida, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I know.
Ron's idea is way better.
Yeah, Tebow's in his 30s. I think that ship has sailed. I wanted to get to this. I find this sort of fun. Pro Football Focus has graded. They've revealed all their draft grades of all the players who have come out since 2015. And the highest graded player since 2015, according to Pro Football Focus, is Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is the guy. They only think that Andrew Luck would have graded as highly, but they weren't doing grades when Andrew Luck came out. But I mean, Trevor's just
Very similar style.
They
both
do.
Both of those guys.
Yeah, and they have all the physical gifts, and then they have all the mental capabilities to really run the position well.
And a very similar demeanor as well.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty unflappable.
I mean, some of the other highlights here. The first defensive player was Chase Young. He had the 11th highest overall
with
grade.
The WFT. These are all the people we're talking about.
That's right. And he's outstanding. And number 12 was Myles Garrett. Those two really outstanding pass rushers. But here was something that I found striking. Since 2015, the highest graded offensive lineman is Penei Sewell coming out this year.
Wow.
Yeah, because you see reports that maybe this draft doesn't have elite talent or such. Maybe not on the defensive side of the ball, but on the offensive
of
the ball.
It's loaded.
We're going to have maybe four quarterbacks taken in the first round. I mean, in the first 10, you might have four or five quarterbacks.
He might be a top five pick.
Well, and Penei Sewell.
Some drafts that have him there.
Penei Sewell could well be, I mean, based on these grades, he is that high of a talent. It just may be that the rush on quarterbacks bumps Sewell down just a little bit. But a lot of teams have him going, a lot of mock drafts have Sewell going to the Bengals to protect Joe Burrow, who needs more protection.
Sure, he does.
And then the highest rated tight end on this list is Kyle Pitts, who's coming out this year
fair.
As well.
He is the real deal. He's the reason Florida, the two Kyles, the quarterback, Kyle Trask, and then Kyle Pitts. And he was injured a good part of the season, but they're very much responsible for Florida's success this year, taking him all the way to the SEC title game.
An impressive family showing here. There are some brothers who finished number 14 and 15, back-to-back with the highest grades coming out of Ohio State. Can you name these brothers?
My initial reaction would be the Watt brothers, but if you say 2015, JJ came out before.
Can't do that one.
So I would go with the Bosas.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Nick and Joey.
Outstanding. I mean, the other striking thing about this list is they have Zach Wilson rated number 3 overall, ahead of all these other quarterbacks who have come out over the last, 5 years.
Wow.
So they really are. I mean, Zach Wilson has soared. It wasn't that long ago Justin Fields was the obvious number 2, according to all the grades and experts. And now it's Zach Wilson, almost universally, number 2. It's just a matter of whether the Jets will keep the pick.
Or trade it.
Or trade it, yeah.
Hmm. How do you feel about Zach Wilson?
It's when I see what he can do and his mobility and his arm and the ability to throw on the run, I'm very impressed. But playing for BYU,
I was just going to say, look,
raises the ante. It makes it very risky. I mean, that's
their competition is just not at a Power 5 is competing against.
And people say, oh, but he's still playing football. Yeah, but the cornerbacks on the competition weren't as fast as they will be at the next level. The pass rushers aren't as adept and won't chase you down as well. I mean, the level of competition matters.
The speed of the game is
greatly.
Very
the whole
different.
Speed of the game and the speed of the game is different when you're playing for BYU than when you're playing for, say, Alabama. So I think Zach Wilson just looks the part. He looks great. But to take a number 2 based on his collegiate history is a risk.
I agree with you.
I think of Trey Lance as a bigger risk at this point. I mean,
That's a strange situation.
A lot of people have him going, well, look, Todd Meshay published his report. He has four quarterbacks going 1 through 4 and Lance going number 4. That makes me nervous.
Well, and you know, he is so, his raw athleticism is off the charts. It's incredible. But he's had such a strange situation that he played in for an FCS school who decided not to play the season. So it wasn't like he opted out. The team opted out. They played one game to showcase him, and it wasn't a great game. I mean, that's a lot of pressure on a kid when you've basically had no off season and you're in the middle of COVID and all of that. So he hasn't had what I would say, like, last view is not something I'm excited about. Now, previous season, 17 games, he was phenomenal. But again, it's an FCS school as opposed to FBS. And just what we're talking about with Zach Wilson about the competition not being the same as if you're facing Alabama's, Clemson's, and LSU's of the world, you are seeing the closest thing to an NFL defense as in size, speed, scheme, everything. I can't say that outside of the Power Five that you're really going to see that. And coming from FCS, exactly the same. It's going to be interesting. I think the best spot for him would be what Patrick Mahomes had, the ability to sit behind a really great veteran like a Matt Ryan. If Atlanta moves up to take him or is able to take him, that's a great spot for him. Then you have a chance to, he has a chance to catch up with an NFL defense and learn these schemes and see the speed of the game. But yeah, I think it's risky.
Well, I might make 2 points. First, going back and looking at this history, the Pro Football Focus's ranking of the highest graded players over the last 5 years, there are two monstrous names that were left off. So this list includes many big quarterbacks, big recognized quarterbacks like Kyler Murray and Jameis Winston and Baker Mayfield and Marcus Mariota and Tua Tagovailoa. Yet two names were left off that should have been put here. Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Oh, you're kidding.
They were not graded in the top 50 in the last 5 years.
Okay, well, SMH. Like, for Mahomes, I'm going to say, because he was kind of stuck in mediocrity at Texas Tech,
right.
I was surprised where he was drafted, to be honest, because I looked at his collegiate career, which was an air raid offense, and they didn't do anything. And it was like, okay, wow. I mean, look where Kansas City's taking him. That surprised me, to be perfectly honest.
Yep.
But wow, he went into the right situation. He's an uber talented, like Trey Lance, super athletic, uber talented, great kid. But goes to Andy Reid, a quarterback whisperer, Eric Bieniemy, arguably the best OC in the NFL right now. Look at his weapons: Kelsey, Tyreek Hill at the time, Kareem Hunt. I mean, he is in the perfect situation. So I could maybe sort of see that he wouldn't be in the top 50, but really with Deshaun Watson, I can't see it. He was at a very high performing program in Clemson. In his 3 years, took them to the national championship twice, beat Alabama once, lost to Alabama once. I don't get that at all. That's confusing.
Well, what this does show, and the guy who wrote this summary acknowledged, look, they're exposing themselves. You make mistakes when you do these grades.
Sure.
And to leave Mahomes and Watson off just shows how vulnerable the whole process is. But it also underscores, when you think about these four quarterbacks, and throw Mac Jones in there, because Mac Jones might go in the top 10 as well.
Oh, he will.
That
he
at
will.
Least two or three are really not going to work out. If two of them become very, very good quarterbacks with long careers and all-pro players, that's fantastic. But two or three of them are going to be bust, almost by definition.
Well, you look at the Goff-Wentz year. I mean, there's one and two.
Well, and
Josh Rosen. You know, there's a lot of busted, of course.
Well, you're the quarterback whisperer. All those guys you predicted doom for. So you've got, just quickly, of those four, which do you think is the least likely to succeed?
Oh, well, it's Josh Rosen, because he's already not succeeding.
No, I'm talking about the four who might come out in this draft.
Oh, the four who might come back out? Oh, I don't want to say it. I'm questionable on Zach Wilson. I really am.
All right, I'm going to go. I'm questionable on Trey Lance. But all right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Howard Balzer. We'll ask him the same question. Balzer knows everything about the NFL, and he's the publisher of the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated. We'll ask him what J.J. Watt's arrival for the Cardinals means to the team. Up next on the Sports Map Radio Network.
to Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now is a real friend of the show. One of our favorites is Howard Balzer. He is a publisher of the All Cardinals Sports Illustrated site. He's a Hall of Fame selector. It is great to have you back. You're on the Progressive Insurance guest line because drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Howard, welcome onto the show. You're back on with David and Carla.
Hey, great to be with you all again. Always enjoy it. How you doing?
We are doing great and so glad to have you back. And this is a week when suddenly the Cardinals are the center of the universe.
About it.
Congratulations. You got J.J. Watt. And you got him from our hometown. So.
And you got him for nothing.
For no draft capital. Well done.
Yeah, well, sorry about the Houston angle. but of course, J.J. was the one who wanted a new change and a new direction, which, of course, Deshaun Watson wants also. And we're waiting to see what will eventually happen with that. But he went out in the open market and had a lot of suitors. But certainly, I think it's fair to say, took many by surprise when he chose to have Arizona and the Cardinals be his landing spot. And it was pretty stunning Monday morning when everyone got the news and tried to process. And a lot of people saying, man, A, how'd the Cardinals pull that off? And why did J.J. do that?
Well, let's look at this Cardinals team with J.J. Watt. I mean, how good can this defense become? Size up the defense for us, because we've all seen the offense and all the sizzle that Kyler Murray brings. But what about on the defensive side? Chandler Jones is there. Walk us through how that team looks now.
Yeah, I think that they have a lot of they've built a pretty very good foundation over the last couple of years with Vance Joseph mm-hmm. as the defensive coordinator. But there's still a lot of work to be done. And in fact, I put a story on the site this morning about all this talk now that the Cardinals are a contender. And of course, how do you define contender? I mean, heck, they contended for a playoff spot last year. But as I noted, it's not as if once the season ended, as it did disappointingly for the Cardinals. I didn't hear anyone say, man, this team's one player away from being a Super Bowl contender. But J.J. Watt obviously upgrades a lot of areas on the defense with the defensive line and playing the run, being able to rush the passer, setting stage up for what's behind them. But behind them is where there are still questions. And with players, are they going to re-sign in free agency? Hassan Reddick, who stepped up tremendously last year with Chandler Jones out because of an injury. He's scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent. Patrick Peterson has spent a lot of years in the desert at cornerback. He's scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent. And the Cardinals need cornerback depth even if Patrick Peterson returns. If he doesn't, then there's even more need there. So there's no question that J.J. improves the Cardinals' defense, but overall, defensively and offensively, there's still a lot of work to be done for this team, and a lot of it because of a lot of the players that are headed for free agency unless they can get them re-signed.
Well, Howard, it looks like you know there's a little bit of Texans West out there in Arizona. I think DeAndre Hopkins really wanted J.J. there and was very vocal since DeAndre landed in Arizona of getting J.J. to come with him. And he also reunites with Vance Joseph, who is his coach here in Houston for the first 3 years of his career. And it looks like, you know, he's going to be able to be in his customary left end spot in Joseph's 3-4 scheme. How much influence did that have reuniting with both Joseph and DeAndre Hopkins on Watt's decision?
Yeah, I think that was definitely a contributing part to it. And I think there were, Carla, a lot of pieces that fell together on this. And I think a big thing is the full court press that the Cardinals put on. They treated it as if it was college recruiting, where an excellent player was being recruited by a lot of places, and they were trying to put their best foot forward with the GM, Steve Keim, and the owner, Michael Bidwell. Heck, you know what? They even had Frank Caliendo, believe it or not, who lives near the Cardinals facility, and Blake Shelton, the country western star, who's a Cardinals fan for some reason. They even had them reach out to J.J. Watt. So, like I said, they put a full court press on him. But there's no doubt that the Houston connection helped. But I think that J.J. Watt certainly wanted to see a lot of other things. And then another key point, which he said in an introductory press conference earlier this week, he said, obviously he wants to have a chance to win. And a lot of people are saying, well, if you've gone to Green Bay, if you've gone to Pittsburgh, if you've gone to Buffalo, if you've gone to Tennessee, these are teams that have been in the playoffs, much better chance of winning big. But I think he sees a challenge of helping this team take the next step. But the other thing he said was, hey, if you're going to win and you're going to compete in this league, you have to have a quarterback. And the Cardinals have that. And he said, I have all the respect in the world for Kyler Murray. And in fact, he texted Kyler after signing to say how much he's going to enjoy coming to Arizona. So I think there were all of those factors combined together to lead him to the decision that he finally made.
Okay, Howard, I've got one for you. Please don't hang up on me. This is a crazy thought, but I'm going to put it out there.
Oh boy, look out!
I know.
Buckle
watch
up,
out.
Howard.
I didn't even have caffeine this morning. I'm already like this. So obviously, you've got your franchise quarterback in Kyler Murray. And he has performed beautifully. I will say, sitting here in Texas, that, and I am a Deshaun Watson apologist, I love this guy, and I loved him in college, I loved him in high school, and I love following his career. Kyler Murray is 5'10". Deshaun Watson is proven and is 6'2". And boy, he and DeAndre are quite a pair, and JJ loves him. What about a straight-up trade, Deshaun for Kyler Murray?
Carla?
Please don't hang up on me.
Not only will I not hang up on you, I will not tell you you're crazy because I wrote exactly that on the website.
Oh, this week. There are two of you out there.
It's a good day for me.
Yes.
Friday.
That day, I was sitting there. I said, hey, you know what? Now, and like you said, and I made clear that this was not obviously
it's not a diss
an
on
indictment.
Murray.
Yeah. It's not a diss on Kyler Murray. But Steve Keim, the general manager, said it yesterday when he was asked about it. He says, hey, we're always going to look to try to make our team better. And I don't think there's any doubt. Now, granted, the ceiling on Kyler Murray it should be tremendous. Mm-hmm. But Deshaun Watson is pretty darn close to have reached his ceiling. He can get better, but he's unbelievably good right now. And one thing you didn't mention, Carla, is he's already under contract
right at
a reasonable number for the next 5 seasons. And the Cardinals don't have to deal with the signing bonus money that was in it because the Texans have been they paid that, and that's going against their cap. And so I said, hey, it's up. I didn't predict it would happen, but I said the Cardinals should pursue this. Could they make it happen? I pointed out exactly what you did about the size. Kyler Murray was affected in a few games last year by injuries that occurred. And so, yeah, I think that would be something that the Cardinals should pursue. They might not be able to pull it off. I don't know if they actually talk to the Texans, if the Texans would say, well, you need to give us a lot more than Kyler Murray. But the other point I made, Carl and David, is that the Texans obviously have a credibility problem in Houston. Yeah. And Kyler Murray might be the one guy that at least the fan base would say, oh, okay.
They know him.
He played all his football before the NFL in the state. And he's an exciting player. And that could potentially at least excite the fans more than perhaps somebody else. So like I said, I think it's something the Cardinals should pursue. I don't know that they will. They would certainly not admit it if they were asked. But I think that would be it would make the Cardinals better, even though they still should be pretty good with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, and it's sort of intriguing because the Cardinals have already made a quick switch. I mean, they had 1 year of Rosen, and then they went to Murray. And yes, it's fun to speculate, isn't it? But yes. I think that the fair trade would be Kyler Murray plus some draft capital in return for Deshaun Watson. And
probably.
I guess, yeah. So I'm negotiating for Houston now. You can negotiate for the Cardinals as we sit in our respective places.
And I'm changing my hashtag, think like Howard.
Well, no, it's scary to me that you two have aligned on this point.
It should be scary for Howard, honestly.
A dangerous alliance has been formed between Carla and Howard.
Well, I thought that there was perhaps when she was saying this and I was listening and I'm kind of smiling to myself, I'm thinking there must be a psychic connection because using the whole crazy thing, I wrote that. I said, call me crazy, but I've been called a lot worse. So, and then I laid out my reasoning why this would make sense.
All right, we are talking to Howard Balzer, and you can hear him on weekends. He's a co-host with Jeff Biggs on a show that airs on the SportsMap Radio Network from 1 to 3 Eastern. Let's shift gears to, well, we've been trying to get to the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Most of the show we haven't quite got there yet, so we're going to ask you, Howard, do you think they can get a deal done, a long-term deal, or is Dak going to play on the franchise tag this year?
I think they're going to get a deal done. Because I think the Cowboys are certainly tremendously motivated, more so this year than last year, to do that, certainly because of the issues with the salary cap that all teams are facing. And so if you get a long-term deal done, however many years it is, and that was the whole thing keeping from happening last year. It wasn't the money. It was the number of years where one side wanted 4 years, one side wanted five. Well, if that's all the difference, you should be able to breach whatever differences there are. So I think that they should and they will get it done. And by doing that, I mean, if they franchise him, he counts $37 million against the Cowboys cap. You reach a long-term deal, and there's signing bonus money in there, and you prorate that over the term of the deal. And for this year, he doesn't have as high a base salary because you've given him the signing bonus, and then you put some other roster bonuses or bonuses in future years, which will kick in, which would be part of the guaranteed money. And then you reduce that salary cap from $37 million down to, who knows, maybe in the 20s. And that's big. When you're dealing with a cap that not only, and this is a key point for everyone to realize, that not only is going down about $18 million, and it might be a little less, but it's going to be around $18 million, maybe $16, less than last year. But that's not really the key number. The key number is more closer to $28 to $30 million. Because that's how much the cap has gone down from where it would have been this year had last year not happened with the pandemic and the lack of fans and the reduction in revenue. So teams have to deal with that, and so you have to find ways to save money against the cap in any way possible. And obviously, one of the biggest ways to do that is when you have a premium player like a quarterback. So I think they'll get it done. They haven't only till next week, March 9th, is the deadline for extending franchise tags. So it could be, if they think they're close and they haven't finalized it yet, they could put the tag on him at that point because there's still another 8 days before free agency begins and the money starts counting against 2021. But I think they're going to get it done, and I think a lot of it, like I said, is because the Cowboys are motivated to figure out a way to make this happen.
Well, and by all accounts, the Cowboys have said they want him long-term, and Dak Prescott has said he wants to be a Cowboy for life. So you would think rational minds would agree, and this would be the window to do it.
No question. Yeah, no question about it. And it's a tough environment for all these teams, and figuring out what you're going to do with your players that you're trying to keep. Those players figuring out if the team you're on offers you a little bit less than maybe you think you could get in a normal free agent market.
Yep.
But now you're saying, well, I don't know, what is that market going to be? There's going to be guys who go out in the market and make money, but it's not going to be as many, I don't think, as there has been in the past. And so a player never knows. And if there's more players on the market because of unrestricted free agency, because of players being released, which we're going to see more of in the next couple of weeks, then it's a real unknown for players. And so in a lot of cases, we might see guys, especially if they like the situation they're in and they like the team, that they just might, quote, work with the team because it's known what's being offered there. You still don't know if you're out in that market.
Yeah, the market will be depressed with a tighter cap, to be sure. Howard, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. We always love having you on. And again, to all our listeners, you can hear Howard with Jeff Biggs on a show on the weekends. It is, on Sunday with Jeff Biggs, 1 to 3 Eastern. You can here, Jeff Biggs and Howard Balzer. Howard, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, David and Carla. Take care. Have a good day.
Take care.
Take care.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, welcome back. Ron, you got her dancing in studio again. She likes your intro music. Nicely done.
I just hope you're not sending me a message. This is Robin Thicke. I really don't want that to be coming my way right now.
No.
Okay. Okay, just checking. Just checking. Because I'm feeling myself after the Howard Balzer interview.
Like, that was a little bit spooky for me that you and Howard had that mind meld. And there he sits in Phoenix. Here you sit in Houston. And you guys worked out a trade.
Yeah, we did not talk yesterday.
Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, straight up deal. I mean, what would that Cardinals team look like then? That would be really amazing. They would have the best players from the Texans, Watt, Hopkins, and Watson.
Cliff Kingsbury would be throwing parties at that swanky end that he's got going on. I mean, it would be big.
But as Howard noted, Kyler Murray would at least bring some marketing appeal, a story to tell for the Texans who are bereft of great storylines right now.
Right.
Kyler Murray is a guy everybody knows. He was the number one overall pick. He played so well at Oklahoma. Yes, he would turn some heads if he were to walk into Houston, Texas.
And I would say, hey, Texans, I know you're sticking your feet in the mud and you're trying to be all cute and everything, and it's not cute. Here's why you want to trade Deshaun right now. He's coming off the best year of his career. He's number one in passing yards in the NFL, and he's healthy. Get what you can for him. Why wait for a Dak-type situation? I mean, Dak is doing really well and rehabbing great, but why let that happen? Do it now.
Well, this is a deal that needs to happen before the draft, as you've noted, before teams like the Panthers take a quarterback and then don't go trade for Deshaun. So Texans need to move quickly. It will be a fascinating time. Great to be with you, Carla and Ron. You've been listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.